This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, how are we feeling about the season? Rocket season, they get the 2 seed. They win 52 games in the regular season. They lose in 7 to the Warriors in round 1. Credit to the Rockets for fighting back to get it to a Game 7. Credit to the Warriors for winning a Game 7 on the road against the Rockets. And I would say whatever the opposite of credit is for whatever that offense was last night for the Rockets. That was tough to watch, man. That was tough to watch. And to me, Seth, the biggest number last night wasn't a field goal percentage or turnovers or anything. To me, the biggest number was just their inability to get good shots, to get open shots. They had only shot 12 three-pointers for the entire game about the time the game was turning into garbage time at the end. I think they wound up shooting 18 of them. I think 6 of them were in the last, like, 3-4 minutes. You know, you get Alperen Şengün with nobody walking out to, you know, they're letting Alperen Şengün shoot set shots with 3 minutes to go in the game because the game's over. When this game was still contested, when this was still a game, the Rockets just couldn't find open shots all night long last night.
And that's where, like you had said earlier, if this were a football game, this is the kind of thing where you fire the offensive coordinator afterwards. And because Bobby Sloak is not going to get it done. Yeah, you got to figure something out because they cannot manufacture when they need to manufacture. Part of that's just roster construction, and they don't have enough shooters. They don't have a Buddy Hield. We're stuck in the position of saying we don't have a Buddy Hield, you know? But then there's no movement away from the ball. Like, they don't do anything in the half court versus really good defenses that you have to be able to do, which we knew going in.
Yeah.
And you're just wondering, all right, can you, like, do you really think in the modern NBA, at some point, the recipe for people who just want to run this back, the recipe is going to be to play a two big man lineup.
Yeah.
Plus Jabari Smith Jr. And that's what's going to get it done versus the really potent NBA teams. It's a nice, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but it's kind of a gimmick.
It's a wrinkle.
Yeah, yeah. It clogs up spacing and does a lot of other things that make it difficult if you're not a genuinely good shooting team to take advantage of it. And that's what ends up happening when you play it in heavy minutes for multiple games.
I think the season was a success. I think they overachieved expectations. There were not a lot of people out there saying they would have home court advantage in a playoff series this season. So we've got to acknowledge that. The 82-game regular season itself was a tremendous success. Alperen Şengün became an all-star. Amen Thompson is going to be an all-star at some point here. There's not, you know, the young guys that they've drafted, I think at a minimum, I would say, and I'm talking about the 7 guys they've drafted in the first round, the last 4 drafts. You know, they drafted Şengün and Jalen Green 4 years ago. 3 years ago, they drafted Tari and Jabari. And then it was Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore a couple of years ago. And then last year, Reed Shepard. I would say the least complimentary thing I would say about any of those 7 guys is that they've all still got value at least. Like some team will, there are teams out there that I'm guessing if they make a trade with the Rockets would like to have Cam Whitmore included in that trade. He's the least valuable out of all of them right now because I think there's reasons why they weren't even bringing him in garbage time of one of the blowouts a little bit earlier, honestly. But he's got value. The guy scored 39 points in an NBA game in the final week of the season. Like, there's clearly some talent there. And I think Reed Sheppard, I still am confident Reed Sheppard is part of this team's future. The other five guys are all, at a minimum, solid rotational NBA players. Anywhere from solid, you know, Jabari and Tari, I would say solid NBA rotational players, despite the fact that Tari's mom tweets like he's Kobe or something like that. I would say solid rotational players is their floor, and then all the way to the ceiling being, I think Amen Thompson has a chance to be one of the 10 best players in the sport once he gets his offensive game refined a little bit. So there are good things going on here, and you've got so much in terms of capital to go make whatever move it is you want to make. You can practically outbid any team. If you want Kevin Durant badly enough and Phoenix is willing to play ball and they want to move on from Kevin Durant, you can go get Kevin Durant this offseason if you want.
You can go, and those guys can everybody you mentioned can continue to improve and be better.
Yeah.
The biggest just question mark or headache or however you want to view it is Jalen Green and his $35 million. Everybody that you just mentioned, and I would include Şengün in this, they show something in the playoffs, and that there you can see where the improvement will be. Şengün was very open about how he feels like he took a step back offensively this year, but you can see, especially with improvement from other guys around him, where a better version of Şengün exists. Jalen Green, you come out of this playoff series and you just wonder, all right, are we gonna do the thing we did with James Harden forever, where you just keep trying to act like it's a fluke that he's no good in the end of playoffs and what have you? I can't sit here and act like running it back exactly like this is what you need, and that with improvement from all those guys we just mentioned, that everything will be just fine. I think they need more than that.
Yeah, I think the thing with Jalen Green, okay, a couple things you said about Jalen there that are interesting. I don't know that people are going to be – he's making a lot of money, no doubt, but he's only got two more years left. It was a three-year extension, so they're like – it's not a – it's by NBA terms, it's – by regular people terms, it's ridiculous money, obviously. By NBA terms, I don't think teams are going to be scared off by that. The Jalen – the basketball part of what you just said, as you laid that out, like, he's clearly the player that was most impacted by the change in what playoff basketball looks like versus what regular season looks like. That's the scariest thing if you're the Rockets or a team trading for Jalen Green. Like, okay, is this a guy who the style of basketball in the regular season was a little more wide open? You got guys load managing. Jalen plays every night, to his credit. He plays every night. Is that style of basketball where teams aren't game planning for you night to night? You know, they're a little looser with their scouting reports. Energy level, back-to-backs thing, those all factor in. Is he just more conducive to putting up numbers in that environment than the ability to put it up in a series where the guy goes off for 38 points in game two and then Steve Kerr moves with a couple chess pieces and the guy cannot get out from under clamps for the rest of the series?
And then it's game seven and the Warriors say, all right, no, we're going to go after Fred VanVleet tonight.
Yeah.
And then where are the excuses now?
Right.
It's his first game seven. I can see Amen Thompson out there in his first game seven, and he's rising to the challenge. Şengün was giving you something, at least, as inefficient as he was. And Jalen Green had room to work. He had space. He wasn't getting blitzed and what have you. And he just doesn't show up.
Yeah.
And at some point, how long do you continue giving opportunity after opportunity after opportunity? It's just, he's nowhere near being untouchable as a trade piece.
Correct.
Like, not even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're getting a lot of texts about Jalen to the text page here. You can't blame this all on Jalen. That offense is atrocious. Tari Eason turnovers, Dylan Brooks turnovers, Şengün flopping. Yeah, no, Jalen's not alone in this,
right, for sure.
He's not alone. But again, he's one of your highest paid players, and he is the guy that I think for the last 4 years this organization has envisioned being the face of this franchise, and I think it's not evolving that way right now. We have playoff Harden. His name is Jalen Green. That's from Mike and Cyfair. Jalen Green equals playoff James Harden. You know, again, I don't want to go down that comparison again, especially on the heels of –
well,
you and I were complimenting Harden last week when they were making those comparisons.
No. Well, we were complimenting him. We were just saying, like, no – you got to recognize Jalen Green is not even close to as productive as James Harden has been in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden, who now is notoriously bad in games 5 through 7 in the playoffs, at least has produced in the playoffs.
Yep.
And when he doesn't produce, typically even he's at least scoring in the double digits.
Yeah.
And like this, that's so to even put him in the same category as James Harden, it doesn't really do justice or illustrate what a non-factor Jalen Green was in terms of a guy that's supposed to be one of your studs.
Yep.
In 6 out of the 7 games in this series.
Text message: I'm out on Jalen Green. Done with that experiment. Experiment. He's second pick in the draft. Alpi needs to get in the gym and work on his touch this offseason. His touch has been off. He leaves about 6 to 10 points out on the court. Thank you for pointing that out. So I have been pointing that out repeatedly throughout this series and have a lot of people. Those are the defenders I've been seeing, Seth. I know you talk about the Jalen Green defenders. The ones I've been seeing are Alperen Şengün, because I've been more critical of Alperen Şengün in this series than most people have been. Because of that exact thing, he leaves easy points on the table. I know Draymond's the one defending him, and Draymond sure does make it difficult to get to point-blank range, but there's so many shots that Alperen Şengün missed, and I think all you have to do is look at the losses in games 3, 4, and 7. So the two losses that put you behind the eight ball and then the decisive elimination game. Alperen Şengün in those three games, in game 3, he was 7 of 18 from the field. In game 4, he was 12 of 28 from the field. And the only time he made hay that whole game was the 12 minutes Draymond was out with foul trouble. And then last night, he's 9 of 23 from the field. That's under 40% from the field. Under 40% for a big man whose shots were by and large within 10 feet of the basket. That's a huge reason. I'll give Alperen Şengün all sorts of credit for improving as a defender, and I understand that he affects the game in other ways. He's a very good passer. He can facilitate offense for you. Above and beyond anything else, he is directly leaving easy baskets on the floor in these
losses. This is what he needs to do in the offseason. In keeping with the theme of last week's national topic, how many men would it take to 100 men versus one gorilla?
Yes.
He needs to get in the gym with an actual gorilla. a real-life gorilla from the zoo.
Okay.
That learns how to teach him a little bit of defense, you know, and just learn how to deal with physicality and to not accept it. You know, you can drug it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want Şengün dying in the experiment.
Right, right. A sedated gorilla. You know, we don't need any career enders. Who the hell on the text line is defending Jalen Green? I don't know, some guy.
I'll look through. It's not like when I go to some of the guys on Twitter, the analysts that I respect or whatever, and I'll just read down the replies to their tweets. When somebody puts out something negative about Jalen Green, there's people popping up that will adamantly defend Jalen Green. So I don't know. I don't think it's legions of people, but there is always somebody.
Yeah, for sure. Text message. Okay, and I would ask this person, you don't need to text it in 5 times. That's an easy way to get blocked if you keep repeatedly sending in the text. But I'm only
rewarding him.
No, well, because I want to answer the question. It's a fair question. What's up with the hate on Cam Whitmore? I don't know. Don't ask us. We're not the ones leaving him just sitting there rotting on the bench during garbage time. We're not hating on Cam Whitmore. We're making the observation that clearly the team does not believe in Cam Whitmore to the degree that it believes in the other young players that were drafted in the years around Cam Whitmore. So, yeah, we're not hating on him at all. This would have been a game.
Didn't you just say that there's something with Cam Whitmore? Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah. Okay.
Well, no, I said earlier, teams are going to want Cam Whitmore because he's shown that he can play in the league. That's not hate. Yeah. We're just stating facts about Cam Whitmore.
That's somebody named Whitmore that texted
probably,
him, especially with the 5 times.
Texted five times, yeah.
Anybody who interprets like an observation as hate is generally a family member.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Whitmore.
By the way, have you read any of the tweets from Tari Eason's mom in the last 24 hours?
No, I don't.
Some good ones there, man.
Yeah, she doesn't show up on my timeline.
Shows up on mine, even when
I. You know what I do? By the way, on Twitter, what I've been doing lately is I just say "not interested in this post," "not interested in this post." It seems to do a pretty good job, like of doing like anything political. I just don't want. I don't need politics on, which is hard these days. So I do that with Tari Eason's mom, just because I don't want to know about the drama.
So tell
me what she said.
I get her defending her son. That's fine, and that's what she does. And nobody's going to stop her. There was one tweet that she had in 7 hours ago. So she's still up banging away at 1:15 in the morning with these people.
Yeah.
And she said this to a Warriors fan. You're going from one defensive nightmare to another, and I'm a basketball fan first, Celtics second, Rockets third. I hate the Warriors and y'all creepy-ass fans. Wolves in foe, F-O. Now, here's my question then, Momster, and she that's what she calls herself, Momster. Celtics second, Rockets third. So the Celtics met the Rockets. I know she's a Celtics. She's a self-proclaimed Celtics fan in her Twitter bio. If the Celtics played the Rockets in the NBA Finals, that means you would be rooting against your son? Celtics second, Rockets third. That's how I read that. That she would be rooting against. She'd be rooting for Tari maybe to go for 35, but the Rockets lose? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. What did you say, Colin, that she was in a Twitter Spaces last night?
Yeah, she was also in the Twitter Spaces of, I think it was of Warriors. Like, you know, I think I need to go back and
was
look.
Was she talking in the Twitter Spaces?
Yes.
Did they so they potted her up? Usually, the Twitter space you got to give permission.
Yeah,
for somebody to,
you got to give permission for the person.
Moderator
to speak.
Does that. Yeah.
It was. I got to go back and find the video because it was.
Is it archived somewhere?
I think it's on Twitter somewhere. I think I can go find it.
Okay. Do you have? Is there a tease? Was she going off in there? Was she channeling her tweet persona in there at all?
I didn't hear the whole thing.
Okay.
The tweet was like Tari Eason's mom, like Wilden or something, or whatever
okay.
It was a Twitter space in there. I was like, oh, no.
See if you can find something. Yeah.
The Minnesota, for what it's worth, is about the same level of defensive nightmare as the Rockets.
Yeah, they're good defensive.
And the Rockets gave, as the Warriors players credited the Rockets with their ferocious defense,
yeah.
They're going into a similar battle in a lot of ways.
I think the Warriors are going to, or I should say, I think the Timberwolves are going to win that series. They're a minus 190 favorite in that series.
Remember, the Warriors, with all of their age, are going straight to Minnesota for this game too. So it's they only get one night off. So this is where the fatigue might start to set in with these guys.
Yeah, I think it's what we were hoping for, and I think it did to a degree in this Rockets series. I mean, there's a reason the Rockets were able to come back from down 3-1. I think Minnesota wins this series, and I think it's I don't think it goes more than six, honestly. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. We're still digging in on the Rockets' performance last night in Game 7. Okay, there's more Bill Belichick stuff going on. We're into the 8 o'clock hour now, so we can mix in some of the funky stuff here. Bill Belichick, the stories, the continued anecdotes that come out about his girlfriend and what she forced on not just Belichick, but Ben Affleck as well, I will say.
What?
Yes.
Can Ben Affleck, can he do anything to escape from women ruining his life?
It's crazy, yeah. So we'll tell you what exactly it was. We'll do that coming up next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests,
from building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, keep sending in your thoughts on the Rockets, 713-572-4610. We're getting some good ones, some wild ones on here, too, that we will get to. According to Page Six, Jordan Hudson, girlfriend of Bill Belichick, forced her way into Bill Belichick's Dunkin' Donuts Super Bowl commercial. Which I will say, if you saw that commercial, that was a commercial with Ben Affleck and Casey Affleck. Very Boston flavor to it, because Dunkin' Donuts is, it's a global company, but it's tied to that part of the world, Boston area. The Super Bowl commercial, if you recall, there among the many characters in that very extensive commercial was Bill Belichick standing there next to his girlfriend Jordan Hudson. And I remember that was only a few months after they had initially gotten together. Their relationship became public.
That it was public. Yeah.
It became public.
And it was. It kind of felt like, boy, that's kind of that's there for posterity.
Yes.
It felt like a weird equivalent to bringing your girlfriend to Thanksgiving dinner, but she's also in the picture, the family photo.
Big time.
Like, no, the girlfriend takes the picture of the family.
Yeah.
Unless she's like, okay, when you know that they're definitely getting married.
Yes.
I don't want this little trollop from Northwest State on my, you know, in my album forever. Yeah.
Right. And definitely not in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial, because that's kind of fun to be in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial, you know, with the Affleck brothers.
So she finagled her way into it. Bill Belichick figured it was a way to get her paid, so she got a nice little paycheck for that.
Yeah, here's what it says. So Page Six, which is sort of the gossipy page of the New York Post, said that Jordan Hudson, quote, forced her way into the commercial, but Bill, as you just said, Seth, saw it as a way for her to get paid, citing an unnamed source, quote, this is the best part, people said they've never seen anything like it, end quote.
I've seen something like it, Sean. I did once in Jacksonville. Brandy got her eyes done, like a LASIK procedure, from an eye doctor there. And he did it for a few of the players for the Jaguars in exchange for doing a little local commercial, you know? A nice little deal. And one of the offensive linemen who did it showed up, and his wife had a plan for how she wanted the commercial to look. So she is handing a script to the actual producers of this commercial.
No way.
She brought a football uniform for Jeff to be in, and then she was also in it alongside Jeff. Oh, I shouldn't have said. Anyway, is this player? And it was so weird, dude, because the producers were, you could see them like looking at each other and trying to figure out. And, you know, meanwhile, they planned on spending maybe 2 hours, just a couple of testimonials, you know, interview a player and his wife who had it done or whatever. Yeah, and then that's it. They did a whole skit with him in uniform and all. It was crazy.
No, so nuts. So they acquiesced. She brought in this script and they were amenable air quotes amenable to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever film crew is in Jacksonville, Florida. It wasn't like it was. They didn't bring out their Emmys to show that they weren't to be trifled.
But I'm guessing there was an agency or somebody there that had an idea of what they wanted the commercial to look like. You know,
They wanted it to be nice and simple and cheap. And I think they probably doubled the production time on
So this
is an extreme version of that.
Yep.
You know, the people that are producing a multi-million dollar Dunkin' Donuts commercial. Yeah.
And that's the thing to me that's really funny. Like if people around a set Ben Affleck's in the damn commercial. So there's people that are around stars. When those people are saying people said they've never seen anything like it, they've seen a lot of stuff.
Well, okay, so now immediately people say, hey, why is this even being talked about? Because there is very much a football element to this. Yeah. Jennifer Hudson's reported nosiness.
Jordan Hudson.
Yes, not Jennifer Hudson, excuse me. I apologize.
Poor Jennifer
to Ms. Hudson
is taking a lot,
Well, he should date Jennifer Hudson.
She'd be a
That would
catch.
Be a power couple
That'd
right
big
there.
Time. Yes, yeah.
So this has nothing to do with her age or anything. It's her intrusiveness.
Yeah.
Because the other report is that Hard Knocks was going to do UNC. They're going to go in, which is, for a program like UNC, great publicity in this era of NIL and transfer portal and everything else. And the way it was framed was that Hard Knocks was ready to go on a Friday. They thought it was going to be UNC. But then Jordan Hudson was insisting that she get editorial power, that she was going to be able to review the dailies and all this other stuff. And by Monday, the deal had evaporated. Yep. So there's just, and then there's multiple reports of her being very intrusive within the UNC football program in a really weird way. So she could be 25 years old. She could be 65 years old. It doesn't matter. The salacious, scandalous side of this has nothing to do with it. She's sabotaging Bill Belichick's career.
Well, and
she's Yoko Ono-ing him.
Well, and in ways, she's sabotaging the North Carolina program. To your point,
right.
That Hard Knocks would have been awesome publicity in an era where it's getting harder and harder for programs to cut through, and yeah. Marketing has become more and more important because of the transfer portal and everything else. They missed out on a huge opportunity, reportedly, because she was being a jerk. Peter King, former NFL scribe, he's retired from writing about the NFL, but still very, very out there. You know, he's very present. He was on the Richard Deitch podcast. Richard Deitch covers media for The Athletic, does a really good job covering media for The Athletic. He had Peter King on his podcast, and among many things they discussed the Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson situation at North Carolina, specifically the interview on CBS Sunday Morning, which if you listen to this show, you already know about that, where Belichick, it was just a bad look for everybody. The interview went terribly. It was an effort to promote his book, and it went awful. Peter King, who has a rocky history with Bill Belichick, we should point out, from when he was covering the Giants and Belichick was on the staff there back in the day, said this whole thing is just embarrassing.
This is a guy who owned every room he ever walked into, and now he's got a 24-year-old muse telling him what to do or trying to control situations that, quite frankly, she has nothing to do with or should have nothing to do with. You know, Bill's got to get a hold of himself here. He's got to get a hold of this situation. This is embarrassing. It's totally embarrassing for a guy who's as great at his job as he is.
Okay. So it's embarrassing. One more here. Peter King says, why would you buy this guy's book after watching that interview on CBS Sunday Morning?
If you're going to be promoting a book, or you're going to be doing interviews, you can't be the sullen, disinterested person
100%, right.
That Bill Belichick was for CBS. You just shouldn't do it then. Why do it? Anyone who watched that piece, anyone, look, I'm just saying, for me, if I'm watching that, I'm not buying this idiot's book. Why would I buy this guy? I hate this guy. That is going to be the impression I get.
Yeah, so I have not heard anybody make that point yet, and it's a pretty basic point, but Peter King's the first one I've heard making it, which is, yeah, the goal of that interview is to sell books. If you didn't know who Belichick was and you watched that, and someone who did know who Belichick was explaining to you, like, so what, this guy's book is about what? About winning.
Yeah, no,
guy with the torn t-shirt who won't answer questions. What?
People were trying to criticize CBS for asking the questions they asked. But when you're in an interview with somebody like that and they're giving you nothing, there does come a point where, like, all right, give me something. I'm going to ask about your girlfriend or this woman that keeps interrupting our conversations or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you asked us for the interview.
Right.
You're trying to promote your book.
Right.
We're not here. You ask us for the interview so you can promote your book. I think that Belichick, I could see where Belichick, you know, and from some of the emails that are out there, it looks like he's being dragged. It, like, really does not want any part of the publicity tour because he knows everything that goes along with it.
Yeah.
So he's reluctant to do this stuff anyway. But I wonder if he even really cares all that much about the commercial success of the book, because Bill Walsh has a book out there that I don't think it's even in print anymore, but it's almost like a Bible for football coaches. And it was one of those things where he initially wrote it and it was like 1,000 pages long and they had to try to whittle it down to 500 pages or something. It wasn't fit for mass consumption.
Yeah.
But football coaches really respect the book.
Yeah.
Like, they trade it around. If somebody gives you a copy of this book, it's like handing you one of the original scrolls of the Bible or something.
Oh, really?
It's that respected.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would imagine he'd rather have a book like that than one that's a number one bestseller.
Yeah.
So this publicity tour, he's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You want to buy the book, buy the book. All right.
Belichick made SNL on Saturday. This was a little skit from SNL, little Trump satire spoof of him signing off on a bunch of different bills.
Sir, this order will make it socially acceptable for a man in his 70s to date a 24-year-old.
That's right. We're calling it the Belichick Law. We're going to make girlfriends young again, okay? Old men can now date far younger women. We like that. It's hot. But in reverse, it's quite disgusting, right? Very Dateline, you know? Did you see Belichick's girlfriend? She's pretty hot, right?
Yes. She is a beautiful creature.
God, you're creepy. This is why we don't hang out outside of work.
I don't like that. That SNL impersonator, the guy from the cast that does the Trump, he's not, I don't like him. I don't like his Trump.
I don't watch SNL, but
I think it was, yeah. Like, there's other people that do better Trump impressions who aren't, they're not as good an impersonator, but they're just funnier. Like, I feel like this guy's trying too hard and he doesn't bring any charisma to
there's,
it.
The very beginning of that impersonation, I'm like, this isn't very good. And then there's certain words in there, just certain enunciations that he makes. I'm like, holy cow, like that just hit. That was spot on.
That comedian Shane Gillis, he does a good Trump impersonation.
He does,
it's almost like a bipartisan Trump impersonation. Yes. A lot of people from both sides of the aisle like it. It's not like he's as good an impersonator. He captures the spirit better.
He does that one really, really good. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to the Rockets at the top of the hour and dig into last night's Game 7 loss. And where do they go from here? Prediction on the TV right now from Kendrick Perkins. Kevin Durant will be a Houston Rocket. I actually put up a poll. More, less, or the same? Your appetite for Kevin Durant. We'll get to that top of the hour. Was yesterday a day that can change things for the Astros materially in the division moving forward? I know they lost, but there was something else. We'll get to that coming up next.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's assess Lance McCullers from this weekend. We'll circle back to Game 7 and the Rockets at the top of the hour. Keep texting in, 713-572-4610 with your thoughts. Anything, you know, you text about anything. Most of you are choosing today to text about the Rockets. I did put up a poll about people's appetite for Kevin Durant on the Rockets, either increasing, decreasing, or staying the same. I'll get to the early results of that as well at the top of the hour. 713-572-4610 is the text page. Lance McCullers yesterday, Seth. Super happy for him. First time back on the mound in 2.5 years. It did feel like it felt a little surreal to me if I'm looking for an adjective. Like, holy crap, it's been think about how long ago the 2022 World Series feels. You know,
right.
Based on all the changes that have gone on with this team, the new faces, the playoff success appearing to be on the back end of the bell-shaped curve now with, you know, getting, you know, beaten by the Rangers at home in a Game 7 in 2023 in the ALCS, and then obviously getting swept by the Tigers in the wild card round last year. It just feels like that World Series feels like a long time ago. That was the last time Lance McCullers pitched in a big league baseball game, 900 some odd days. And I would say you and I gave him a B earlier, and that feels right. Like having, you know, just had a chance to sit and think about it a little bit. Nope, didn't give up any runs. Ton of traffic on the bases. Got squeezed on what would have been, I think, his final out of this outing, which would have allowed him to walk off the field with four complete innings. 3 2/3 innings, no runs, but 3 hits and 3 walks. 87 pitches is the big number to me. That was good to see his pitch count get up that high.
Yeah, his 87th pitch was a strike. I mean, it was definitely a strike that was called a ball.
Yep.
The batter walks. It's hard to get overly upset about the call because he'd gotten some pretty generous calls in that count and earlier. So he was classic Lance in that, man, he was really struggling for two innings and then reeled it in and then came out in his third inning and faced three batters and looked great. And I think most of us were surprised that he came back out for the fourth inning because he was already up close to his pitch limit for the day and he ended up going over his pitch limit. But there's a part of me that's like, okay, he's probably going to, you know, it's going to be limited pitches today. They're probably going to try to keep him well under whatever limit they have for him. And who knows how many innings he pitches because Gusto was going to be playing in that long relief role. He just didn't have control. And immediately from the get-go, I'm looking at the clock and looking to see what pitch it was, you know, and it's 81 miles per hour slider. And he's always been like 80, you know, like 81 to 86 or 7 miles per hour on the slider, but it wasn't getting the movement. And you're not seeing the control and the movement on his pitches and everything else that you expect to see out of Lance. But it's a cold day and he fought his way through it. And at the end of the day, he doesn't let up any runs, but it was a B effort. He had to really fight through some stuff.
Yeah, I have a hard time giving like a C grade to 3 2/3 shutout innings, but I have a hard time giving an A grade to one where there were guys, other than the 1-2-3 inning in the third, he was doing a tightrope act the whole time out there. So B feels about right. And he's going to get better. Let's hear from Lance. Here was Lance's assessment of his performance yesterday.
Overall, you know, solid. Felt like overall stuff was pretty good. For whatever reason, just didn't feel the slider was not obviously very good. So you got a team that's, you know, 5-6 guys deep with the righties. One of my main weapons, main game plans is kind of, you know, evaporates kind of in front of you. But overall, I mean, I was happy with the overall stuff. Physically, I felt strong through the game. Wished there in the second, after those couple quick outs, I did a better job. Didn't let the inning get long on me. That's kind of the main issue with the pitch count, I think. Throwing, you know, another 20-plus pitches there in the second, and was one pitch away from getting out of there with, like, you know, mid-30s. So
I think, Seth, if you can – we've got experience with Lance with this one other time, and it was back in 2022, with him coming back from an injury, a long rehab, coming back in season. Now, this – he's coming back from a deluxe long rehab here, 2.5 years. But back then, he got hurt in the 2021 postseason, couldn't pitch in the World Series – goes through a lengthy rehab, comes back, I think, in August of that year. You know, so he's out for several months, comes back, and was excellent down the stretch for the Astros. He was 4-2 with a 2.27 ERA. He pitched the closeout game in the – he pitched the first – I forgot about this because they did a – their straw poll during the broadcast was all about McCullers. What's your favorite McCullers performance, you know, during his time with the Astros? And it was interesting because it was four – different closeout games in playoff series. You know, it was the 24 curveball game against the Yankees in game 7 of that ALCS. There was another one from the teens in there. Oh, it was game 1 of the World Series, which you pitched like 3 innings in. And then the two, I had forgotten, he was the starter in that 18-inning game against the Mariners that was a 1-0 Jeremy Pena game. Lance pitched the first 6 innings of that game, 6 shutout innings in that game. He also pitched the closeout game of the sweep against the Yankees in the next round. So he pitched some, and then he got shelled by the Phillies in game 3 of the World Series with all those home runs. Where I'm going with this is, if Lance, look, yesterday was not good enough to back up what I'm about to say. Like, he was not as good, even though he gave up no runs, he was not as good yesterday as the version of Lance that you got by and large when he came back in 2022. But he's going to improve. He's going to be pitching certainly in better weather conditions for the most part than he pitched in yesterday.
Yeah.
If Lance gets back to that version, and that's your number 3 starter, you know, obviously Framber needs to straighten some things out too. I'm working with the assumption that Framber is eventually going to start pitching like an ace again here at some point. We'll see. But just to complete this thought, if Lance is your 3 after a hopefully deluxe Framber and then whatever Hunter Brown has morphed himself into, that's a pretty good 3 at the top of your rotation right there.
Framber, that would be a very good. And it's just a big if at this point. Yeah. I think that he's going to look better over the next few outings, I'm guessing, unless he gets injured. I think Lance is still relatively young at the age of 31. I think the velocity is going to improve a bit, especially maybe with some better weather conditions. And I'm relatively confident that as long as he can stay healthy, I'm going to be feeling really good about Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
A few people had asked, hey, why didn't he throw any fastballs yesterday? That's largely been Lance McCullers since 2018. He went early in his career, he was like 50% four-seamers, and by 2018, he barely threw it at all. And since he came back in 2020, like, he just doesn't throw fastballs. That's just who he is.
Yeah, that's
so, fine. The answer is no. He's not going to start throwing fastballs right all of a sudden, I don't think. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was interesting to see the breakdown of his pitches, like, mysteriously absent, fastball.
Yeah.
But I guess not. To your point, he hasn't been
right,
he
yeah,
hasn't
that's
been
just
using
who
it
he's,
in a while.
Yeah.
You're just used to seeing it with a lot of guys in the big leagues these days. And as far as the weekend goes for the Astros, just terrible. I mean, you lose 2 out of 3 of the White Sox. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care. And especially the way they lost the game yesterday where, hey, they're up 4-0 in the fifth. The weather is incoming here. They're looking at the Doppler radar. They're like, boy, there is some weather coming in. And I'm like, come on, man, let's get through the fifth here so we can make this game official. And with one out in the fifth, DiCenzo lets a ball bounce off his glove in right field. Like, drops a relatively easy fly ball, and that just opened the gateway to – that lengthened the game, and it opened the door to runs being scored, etc. So
it was now. Well, and the other part, the Astros have just been atrocious at holding runners on base. Madroth got on base, and then he stole, right? Was it Madroth that stole? He stole second base with one out.
He's their leadoff guy, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, the opponents are 32 of 36 on stolen base attempts entering yesterday's game.
Yeah.
They've just been miserable at it. They take second base whenever they please.
And it's everybody. People are going to point the finger at Caratini and Yiner Diaz for that, and certainly they're culpable. I mean, Caratini couldn't hold on to the ball yesterday when guys were stealing. You know, he went to, you know, he had Altuve disease trying to get the ball out of his glove into his throwing hand, and it's rolling behind home plate. But it's on everybody. Like, the pitchers have been strange with their delivery times and with the, you know, like, it's been a group effort being that bad holding guys on base.
The thing I worry about with Framber is the umpires this year are calling a tighter strike zone because they've been given less of a cushion when they get graded. It's gone from 2 inches down to 3/4 inches. So when they get graded internally by Major League Baseball, they're not getting as much cushion as they used to. And when I see Framber in some of the calls he's not getting, where he's just brushing the bottom of the strike zone, and there's still bad calls even with the cushion, but if it's that much smaller of a strike zone, I go back to Dallas Keuchel, because that year, Dallas Keuchel, the year that they changed the strike zone and they raised it a couple inches, that's where Keuchel lived and made all his money, was at the bottom of the strike zone. And he was never the same pitcher again.
No.
So when you compress that strike zone for a guy like Framber, who, man, when he's on, he is just like that stupid commercial from a couple years ago said, a pitcher who paints the corners is known as a Rembrandt. He's the version of whatever that commercial claims they call a pitcher who paints the corners. He can't exploit it like he used to.
Well, and there's also the ripple effect with Framber that you don't account for with some other pitchers, which is, okay, what is this doing to his headspace right now? Well,
when he's not getting these calls?
Right, like, it's hurting him. It's hurting him with this batter. Is it going to hurt him with the next four batters after that, you know?
There's nothing more nerve-wracking with Framber than he's still going through his breathing routine to calm himself between pitches, except he's got to do it at an accelerated pace. It's like somebody screaming at you to relax.
Hey,
you're like, relax! Relax now! Do it, maggot!
Hey.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to let you be the judge of this. I made the prediction on Friday that Lance McCullers would hit at least one batter. Technically, in the box score, he did, but it was a grazing of the shin pant leg on a hitter. Does that count?
I can't believe he didn't actually hit anybody.
Right?
Yes, he did get an HBP.
Yeah.
I know. I thought somebody was going to lose an eyeball point.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. So if that were the only, like, if that were the only hit by pitch and everything else was awesome, I would say that doesn't really count for me. The spirit of what I was saying was he would be all amped up and jacked up and like in the World
Series.
He'd
get somebody in the ribs.
Where he's beating guys in the shoulder or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, this was the second inning. It might have even been the fourth inning. Because he didn't put anybody on base in the third. And so it grazed the pant leg. But you bring up the point that he was wild all day. I feel like maybe I should get credit
for victory.
That one. It's a victory.
He didn't even hit a body. He hit a cotton poly blend.
Okay.
That was. I'll take the under on
it. Do I get to gloat though that he hit somebody? Does that really count as a hit by pitch? Even if it
you
wasn't?
Can't, you can, because in spirit he hit three people.
Yeah.
So
I'm for it. I'm for it. All right. Into the 9 o'clock hour. Man, it's flying by today. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Let's circle back to the Rockets. All right. I said on Twitter over the weekend, I don't want to have to talk about Kevin Durant today, but the Rockets did not prevent that. They lost yesterday, so people are talking. Kendrick Perkins just predicted he'd become a Rocket. What is the appetite for Kevin Durant with Rocket fans? I put up a poll earlier in the morning. What are the early returns telling us? We will discuss coming up next.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.